Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Citizens Assembly on Drug Use will hold its first meeting tomorrow. Chaired by former HSE boss Paul Reid, it's been asked by the government to consider the legislative policy and operational changes that the state could make to significantly reduce the harmful impacts of illegal drugs on individuals, families, communities and wider society. Questions have been raised as to whether Ireland is moving closer towards either decriminalising or legalising drugs rather than addressing and managing the harms that drug use causes. So to discuss this, Bobby Smith, clinical professor with the Department of Public Health in Trinity College and a consultant child and adolescent psychologist specialising in addiction services, joins me on the line, along with Éan O'Riordan, Labour spokesperson for Justice and former Minister for State, Minister of State, with responsibility for drugs, joins us here in studio. Bobby, in your view, what is the Citizens Assembly tasked with doing?
It has a big task, to be honest. Its task is really to look at all aspects of drug policy in Ireland and provide some guidance on how we should move forward. It's meant to look at treatment, it's meant to look at prevention, it's also meant to look at aspects of the legislative response to drug use, and with the goal really of guiding advice on how we can do better in terms of reducing the significant levels of harm that drug use currently causes.
If I was to try and boil it down to one or two questions that they will hopefully answer, might those questions be, do we decriminalise or do we legalise drug use, or do we leave things as they are? Or is the more pertinent question perhaps, do we continue to deal with drug users through the criminal justice system or through the health system?
Well, I think we'd like to ask why so many people take drugs, why it's such a big problem, why we have the third highest overdose rate in Europe, why so many people are dying, and why disproportionately the people who are affected by drug use are from social disadvantaged backgrounds, are members of marginalised communities. My view, and I'm not alone in this, there's a number of politicians that I work with across different parties, is that we need to change the way that we interact with the drug user. So we need to decriminalise the drug user. And that terminology is something that we're very keen to promote. It's not decriminalising drugs or legalising anything. It's how we interact with the person who has a drug use issue, who is an addiction. In Portugal, what they did 20 years ago, they have an interventionist model, but it's not a criminal justice approach. So in Portugal, if you are discovered to have drugs in your person, which are clearly for your own use, there is a dissuasion committee, which has a nurse, a counsellor, a doctor on this dissuasion committee, and they talk to you about your drug use and they take it completely out of the criminal justice system. And for the last 20 years, they've had a 50% reduction in the number of people on heroin dependency programmes and a a 75% reduction in the number of fatal overdoses. So I think what I want to have and what people like me want to have is more people talking to Bobby than talking to a judge or a guard or a criminal justice system when they have a drug use issue.
Bobby, when we look to the Portuguese example, people tend to focus on the issue of them decriminalising 20 years ago. What gets a little bit less attention, and I assume you're quite enthusiastic about, is the fact that they also threw huge resources into the public health system and the treatment of drug users.
I suppose Dublin faced a horrendous heroin problem back in the 1990s, and it's important that we don't forget that. There was 200 under-18s presenting seeking treatment for heroin addiction every year back in the mid-1990s, and that's fallen to zero. We should acknowledge and celebrate that success ourselves. Where Portugal has done better than us, I think, is the comprehensive backup that was provided to those seeking treatment back in the 1990s in terms of wraparound supports, social supports, supports around accommodation, around job provision, re-entering education, and we didn't go quite as far as them. And I think that's perhaps the mistake we made and the learning we could take from the Portuguese experience. Decriminalisation as an intervention has been used in loads of locations around the world, and there's nowhere else has pretended that it's caused any decline in drug-related deaths. There's no rational reason why one would expect that it would. What we need to look at is treatment and prevention and look to countries that have done, look to our own successes, as I said, in terms of our own success of preventing heroin addiction leaking into this younger generation. And we shouldn't take that for granted. There's a horrendous problem with heroin epidemics and opioid epidemics in Canada and the United States. And look, how can we build on those prevention successes and perhaps apply those to the current challenges, which relate more to drugs like cannabis and cocaine, which are the drugs generating the bulk of my work at this point in time.
Eoin, the headline that tends to be generated by Portugal is decriminalisation works. But you've travelled there, so you'll know that before they took the step to decriminalise, they had actually adjusted sentencing policy and there were very few people being given custodial sentences for drug offences. So we'll never know, because they did decriminalise, whether a policy like that, just an adjustment, a tweaking to sentencing policy rather than taking the big bold step of decriminalising drug use, would actually work and be more effective.
But it's also a culture shift. So what we have currently is 70% of our drug cases in the courts are for possession for personal use. So that's a huge waste of our criminal justice system to be dealing with people who are in the courtroom with the, you know, being charged with the possession of cannabis worth of €2. And Father Peter McVerry has spoken of those cases. So it leads to a high level of stigma and shame. It leads to families not coming forward and saying, yes, I have somebody in my family, somebody that I love has a drug issue. It leads to scenarios of government backbenchers being pretty self-confident about using dehumanizing terminology when it comes to somebody who has a drug issue. And whenever we have a treatment center or clinic in any given constituency, there tends to be a kickback from residents, because we have all bought into this idea that a drug user is a problem, that the drug user is a failed person, and the drug user is somebody that we don't like. And we need to get away from that, because disproportionately, as I said earlier, we're talking about people who come from disadvantaged backgrounds. Disproportionately, we're talking about members of the travelling community. Disproportionately, we're talking about members of the LGBT community, migrants, people with disabilities. And what do all these cohorts have in common? It's a disconnection from mainstream society. And it's also a fundamental attempt to ease pain and to treat their own trauma in their own lives. And what we do with that, however, is to criminalise that marginalisation, criminalise that pain, and expect that the courtroom or a judge or a guard is equipped to deal with those issues.
I've no doubt you're correct in that analysis, but let's go back to my question here. Is it better perhaps to think about taking all of those people who have entered the criminal justice system in this way and diverting them to something like the Portuguese model, where they sit down with a social worker or a nurse and whoever else?
But that is the Portuguese model. It is an interventionist model. I mean, sometimes people say...
Yes, but the headline move of decriminalisation was one that also resulted in drug traffickers thinking that they had free rein for about 4 or 5 years in Portugal, and the murder rate went up by 41%.
Right. But the assumption about decriminalisation is that it's a non-interventionist model, that it's a free pass, that there, you know, nothing happens if you're caught with something on your person. That's not what happens, and that's not what we're advocating for. We're advocating for that somebody will be diverted into treatment, help, counselling, a discussion about their life choices. But certainly that is not the kind of discussion that needs to be happening, clogging up our courts, clogging up our criminal justice system, and it doesn't work.
Bobby, do you have a view on this?
I suppose as a doctor, I'm fundamentally just concerned by the young lives being damaged by the drug use I'm seeing. But I'm obviously interested then in you know, legislation is often a component that's used in a public health-led response, such as that we have for drug use. What Eoin is completely ignoring is the fact that it's current government policy to move towards a position which is pretty similar-ish to the Portuguese model, where in the first instance where someone is found to be using drugs, they will be directed for a health assessment provided by the HSE, where if they are part of that minority of people who have an addiction, they'll be offered treatment and support around that. The reason society has laws and rules around behaviours like wearing seatbelts in cars and drug use is because we're trying to deter people from heading down that path in the first place, where they may run into health problems. And that's why we have rules.
I thought it was very interesting that, again, in the Portuguese experience, that there was only a small uptick in the number of people who started additional people who started experimenting with drugs once they were decriminalized, and then that flattened off quite quickly. There's no reason to assume that the same thing wouldn't happen here, is there?
I think if you I mean, ultimately, Portugal, all they did was they just changed the prohibition model from one that involved the criminal justice system to one that involved, this dissuasion commission. So they altered the sanction. Now, that has coincided with probably a doubling of the rate of teenage cannabis use. Certainly, Portugal has moved from a low rate of cannabis use to now being the second highest in Europe for adults reporting daily cannabis use. And Aon's theory that, stigma associated with drug laws is keeping people out of treatment. Well, actually, Ireland is doing better at attracting people into treatment for cannabis addiction than Portugal is. So it doesn't bear out. So there's all sorts of theories and fancy spin and thinking underpinning some of Aon's arguments, but the real-world evidence just doesn't bear them out. And again, it's distracting us from talking about how we go about providing better treatment, how we go about addressing the social and community determinants of drug use in the first place, so we can do primary prevention better.
No, I don't accept that. I mean, 40 years ago, we had about 1,000 prisoners in Ireland, then we've got 4,000, and the difference is bad drug policy. The difference is that we have a criminal justice system, a prison system, which is clogged up with people who have addiction issues, and we're not treating that properly. I used to work in an area of chronic disadvantage, and the drug issue was everywhere around you, and how the society dealt with that drug issue, and how the guards deal with that drug issue, and how the criminal justice system, the court system that deals with that drug issue. It's not on a basis of even-handedness. There's a very different way that we deal with somebody from a middle-class background, somebody from a working-class background. I know this, and I know this when I was Minister for Drugs. If you had a middle-class fatality over a drug overdose from a pill, you get any amount of media comment. If you have somebody who dies from a heroin overdose in the toilet of a supermarket, you get no media comment, because there's an assumption that this person has made their own mistakes and they are worth no more than that. And so we have to change that. We have to change our whole societal attitude to those who are in addiction, those who are in trauma, and those who are in need of societal help. So there is a lot for this Citizens Assembly to discuss. And what I would come back to the point is that I need people, and I think society needs people, to be interfacing with people like Bobby much more than they are currently interfacing, as I say, with the criminal justice system, with a guard, with a judge.
Can I be very reductionist about this and bring it down to a financial question, Bobby? I assume that you would be much happier to see the resources that are invested in putting somebody behind bars for possession of a couple of grams of cannabis being put into child and adult mental health resources.
I suppose that's built on a pretense that there are people being imprisoned for having a couple of grams of cannabis, and that's just not true. It's not happening, and it's not government policy for it to happen. And I fully agree that there should be no one in prison for personal use of any drug. And Aon's 4,000 figure is not people locked up for personal drug use.
No, but it's you have to accept it is drug-related.
No, it's alcohol-related, actually, which is our legal drug. If you look at our courts, anyone looks at their local newspaper.
We don't arrest people, though, for use of alcohol.
Well, there's loads of people arrested for simple intoxication, for being drunk. That's a crime.
Yeah, but not for possession of it for their own personal use.
But thousands of people go through the court system due to alcohol every year. Our prisons are genuinely full of lots of people are there because of behaviour they engaged in while drunk.
But our court system is not there, and people are absolutely in our court system for things they did when they're abusing drugs. But you are not in the court system for possession of alcohol for your own personal use. You are for drugs. And the issue there is that when we, 100 years ago in the States, when they had prohibition of alcohol, it just led to the growth of the mafia. So, look, we have to have a much more realistic view of the reasons as to why people fall into drug use, which we've had a very moralistic view of it in the past. But we know from your work, and I know from my work, is that often it comes from a place of pain. And you can't deal with that pain and trauma and disadvantage and disconnection if you're sitting in a courtroom.
And I think the one thing that this conversation underlines is that there are a lot of very subtle and very nuanced issues for this Citizens' Assembly to deal with when it convenes first tomorrow. Thank you, Bobby Smith, and thank you, Aon O'Riordan, for joining me this morning. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.